Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Saturate. It is wonderful to have you on the program with me today. Will you open your Bible to Mark chapter 16? We want to talk about the Great Commission. We want to talk about Jesus after he had risen from the dead, rose, risen, whatever's correct. And some of the misconceptions that go along with that Great Commission that's been given. We're going to do a song first. This is Marvin Crispell III. I hope you like this song. This, hey, you listen to this stuff. When you hear the music I put on this program, you tell, man, that guy likes all kind of music. You're exactly right. Don't you know God must like all kind of music? In fact, God likes stuff I don't even like. It must be a miracle of hearing when we get to heaven, because there's going to be some stuff up there going on that I don't even particularly like down here. So you may or may not like this, but I sure hope you do. This one's called All Right, and I love the way he does it. We'll listen to this. We'll be right back. Hang on, folks.
I've been through the storm, and I've been through the rain, and been through the heartache. I've been through the pain, and one thing for sure, he never failed me.
Hallelujah. I hope you like it. I love it. That sounds so good. Marvin Crispell III. Get some of his music. You'll be blessed. Mark chapter 16. Let's start at verse 9. Now, when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Now, there's something special about that that we don't have time to talk about today. But you ought to underline that and study that out. Why did he appear to a woman first? That's a deep one. We're going to get there. Out of whom he had cast seven demons. Verse 10 says, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard he was alive and he'd been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now, you remember we talked about that. That's the two guys that was on the road to Emmaus. It says he appeared to them in another form. He didn't appear to them and was recognizable as Jesus Christ. I wonder why. Because it was more important. You know what he did on the road to Emmaus? He explained the scriptures to them. That's what he did. And that was what's most important, that they learned the scriptures and that Jesus was in them, all of them. For it says he went from Moses through the prophets and in all of the scriptures showed himself to them. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Now here's the Great Commission, verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this Great Commission. It always amazed me in Mark and Mark's account of this is that he was telling the story of a lot of people who did not believe he was risen from the dead. He came to Mary first. I think he came to Mary because I believe more than anything, she recognized him spiritually. But we'll go into that a little deeper later. But obviously, he appeared to a woman. Shame on people who don't think women have a place to preach the gospel. Jesus decided he wanted to go to a woman first and let her go tell everybody about it. Chew on that one for a little while. But then, of course, he appeared to the two fellows on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize him. And even when they went to tell other people that they finally saw Jesus when he was revealed to them after he broke bread with them, they didn't believe him. So it says later, he appeared to the 11 as they were sitting there, and he rebuked them and said, you're hard of your heart, and you're not believing people who have seen me risen. And then in verse 15, he immediately says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, wait a minute. It don't sound like they're too ready to do this. It doesn't sound to me like they're prepared like they ought to be. I mean, folks, they're having a little trouble believing Jesus, and he immediately tells them that they need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that the end of it? And then, of course, Mark's account has him going up. It says, and right there afterward, he arose into the clouds, and they stood there looking. And you know the story. The angels came and said, why, you men of Galilee, stand here looking? You know that story. Now let's go to Luke chapter 24. Let's go down to verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now this is the same message he gave to the two on the road to Emmaus, that they needed to lean on the scriptures. You remember Peter said, we were with him in the mount. We heard the voice. We saw the transfiguration. We saw it with our eyes, heard it with our ears. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, you can stand on God's word when your feelings, when your senses will lead you astray. You need to stand on God's word. And that's what Jesus was training them to do. And so let's read this. It says, 45 says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. All right. Man, we need to pray that every day. 46, and he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, there's the Great Commission. It's put a little bit different words in Luke here, but that's the same commission he gave in Mark. And it says, and ye are witnesses of these things. But look at 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he was blessing them, they departed from them, and he went to heaven. So a lot of people think that the last thing Jesus told them was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But that was not the last thing Jesus told them. That was part of what his last message to them was, but there was more to it. Okay, let's pick up here in Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And there's the Great Commission again that we always quote. But folks, what did he tell? And you know, some people get a little confused about things that aren't written in the Bible very much, but we've given three accounts now where Jesus himself told them, do not depart from Jerusalem until you're qualified. I'm going to put it that way. Do not try to go and preach the gospel into all the world, as people, most people say. You know, I've had people come to me and say, brother, I'm ready to get a ministry. And God knows I appreciate your zealous spirit. But folks, we got to get the power to do it with. We can't do it in our own. You can't save yourself, and you really can't do anything. Jesus said, you can't do anything aside from me. And right now, where is Jesus right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So personally speaking, he is not here. Who's here? The Holy Spirit's here. What did the disciples, they kept saying to him, let me just put this in my vernacular. Oh, Jesus, don't leave. I mean, can you imagine? Here he is now. He can walk through walls. There wasn't a door holding him back. He had the ministry now. He could go clear the hospitals and the jails and everything. Just clear him out. But he didn't. What did he tell him? He said, you're going to go in my name and you're going to do greater works than these. Why? Because there were so many more of us, right? But he said, you're not going to be able to do it until you receive the gift that my Father's going to send. He said, I must needs go away. If I don't go, then we can't send the Holy Ghost to you so you can do the work I'm asking you to do. Let me tell you something. John said, I'm baptizing with water, but there's one that's coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. This is a question, and we're probably going to run out of time here that we can't answer today. Should you be baptized with the Holy Ghost? My answer is yes, you should. Now, is it a prerequisite for you to go to heaven? No, it's not. Just like regular water baptism is not a prerequisite to go into heaven. Look at the thief on the cross. He was neither baptized in water and he was not baptized in the Holy Ghost. And yet he made it to heaven because his ministry on earth, he didn't have one. He was dying that day. But you didn't go to heaven the day you got saved. God wants you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, you mean I ought to go to Africa? I don't know. He might call you to Africa. He might call you somewhere else. But he's certainly calling you to go into the world that you live in right now, to your family, to the people on your job, to the people that you meet. And you know, so many people are timid. So many people are fearful. I don't know if I can say. And you know, folks would be just cussing up a storm around you. And then you can't even say, praise the Lord, you know, in the midst of people cussing God. You need the boldness to preach the gospel with your life and with your mouth in this world. God wants you to be filled with his spirit. Yes, you have the spirit when you got saved. Yes, you do. But there is great power that'll come on you when you get baptized, immersed in, covered up. That's what the Bible says. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will do great things. Thanks for coming to Saturate today. We love you so much. We'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye-bye.